All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Our theme this year is 2020 Vision, Focusing on Eternity. I want to read it one more time. 2020 Vision, Focusing on Eternity. Now, folks, if heaven is your home, you better focus on eternity. We're here for just a short time. Our theme verses this year will be Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Let's say it together. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Let's try it one more time, okay? Colossians 3, 1 and 2. You can tell I wasn't a teacher, all right? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. All right, if you could please turn to Colossians chapter 3 this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we'll be looking at this morning. I trust that this message will be a help and a blessing to you. It's been a tremendous help in my life. Paul is exhorting the church of Colossae to, he's telling the Christians, live like Christians if you are saved. Think about heaven. Think about eternity. Now, folks, think about it this morning. If you are saved, you are going to heaven someday. Now, it's not a reality to us this morning because we're on this earth and we're living by sight and not by faith. But someday, if you're saved, you'll be going to heaven. You will be there for all eternity. Now, aren't you thankful this morning that God did not say, all right, you can live on this earth for eternity, and maybe 70 years you can go to heaven. I'm thankful that we get to go to heaven for all eternity. Have you ever tried to live the Christian life in your own strength? It doesn't work. I remember years ago when I was a youth pastor, remember there was a young man that came to our church, and he was unsaved, and he came, and one day before the session started, he came up to the pulpit upstairs, and he said, you know, Pastor, it's impossible to live the Christian life if you're not saved. He was trying to pray and trying to read his Bible and trying to be faithful in church, and he couldn't do it. But folks, it's impossible to live the Christian life without the power of God on your life. You can't do it. It's frustrating. You need the power of God. And what Paul is saying, we all need the power of God upon our lives. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, since you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's pray. Father, oh, I pray this morning that you would control all of us with your power this morning. Lord, help our thinking to be on eternal things and not on temporal things. Oh, God, use us this morning. Help all of us, Lord. Teach us. Speak to us. Fill us with your Spirit. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Richard Baxter was born in November 12, 1615. He became a Puritan pastor. Richard Baxter is one that said this. He said, reading the Word of God will not change your life, but meditating upon the Word of God will. And as we begin the new year, I want you to focus not just on reading the Word of God, but meditating upon the Word of God. Richard Baxter was known as the peacemaker. He struggled greatly and had all kinds of health issues. Now, this was before medication and painkillers. Many times he had bad headaches and he had bad stomach aches and he had all kinds of other physical ailments. And what he did, he would focus on eternity for a half hour a day ever since he was 30 years old. He wrote the book, The Saint's Everlasting Rest. Now remember, this is before they had painkillers. And there was times when he said, I faced death. I stared it in the eyes. He said it was hard. I was in excruciating pain. He said what I would do every day from 30 years old until I died, I would focus on eternity. Let me ask you this morning, when was the last time you focused on eternity? If heaven's our home for all eternity, if we're supposed to set our affections on things above, when was the last time you focused your attention on eternity. I'm afraid I'm just like everybody else. I live for the now. I live for the moment. You live for that next meal. You live for that next sporting event. You live for that next time you get to go shopping, ladies. And we live for the now instead of eternity. Paul tells all of us we need to set our affections on things above. First of all, the condition of these people. Verse 1, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, since you have been risen with Christ. The day I got saved, God changed my life. The reason I have a desire for the Word of God is not to get to heaven. I have a desire for the Word of God because I am going to heaven. And if I don't get to the Word of God, my thinking, if you're not making some decisions in your life, my verse 17, if any man can be old things are passed away, but all things are new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, this morning, he is a new all things are behold, all things are this morning, there's been a change in your life from when you got saved. There ought to be. If the Spirit of God moves in, you are a new creature. You have new passions, new desires. The reason I want to pray, I don't pray enough, but the reason I want to pray is because I have been saved. God changed my life. You know, the reason I want to tell people about Christ is not because I'm trying to get to heaven. It's because I am going to heaven. You know, when I scan a group of people and I look out at them, especially if they're unsaved, I'm thinking, you know, these people without Christ are on their way to hell. The Bible says a condition. The reason sin bothers me is because I have the Holy Spirit of God living in my heart. There ought to be a change. There ought to be a new direction. There ought to be a new destination. There ought to be a new Heavenly Father in your life. So Paul says this. If you have been risen with Christ, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus. The reason you're in church, many of you this morning, is because God changed your life. So he's speaking to Christians. What he's saying is, if you are saved, act like it. I found this out, that the unsaved in the world have a higher standard than we do for Christian living. I remember years ago talking to this lady, and she wasn't saved. She said, oh, and she came out with several different requirements for Christians. I said, I wonder where those came from. I mean, the world expects more from us than we expect from ourselves. No, this is a command. This is a command because it's not natural. I'd love it in the morning if I just get up in the morning out of bed and I think about God. I would love it if I think about His Word. I would love it if I would think about eternity in heaven. But that's not the case. I get out of bed and I think about self. Maybe you don't have that problem. I wish there was some pill I could take that I wouldn't think about self anymore. But I found this out. When I live for self, I am miserable. And Paul tells us, don't live for self. Don't think about self. The command. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So what Paul is saying, make it a priority in your life to think about those things which are above. Seek. It's in the present tense. Doesn't mean it happened one time in your life years ago and you got saved and said, okay, God, I'm going to start seeking you. No, it's every day, every moment of the day. I need to constantly gather my thoughts and start thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a couple of weeks ago. I heard Brandon, and he said, Pastor, sometimes I hear you talking to yourself. I got a little nervous. I'm like, oh, man. I said, Brandon, what do I say? He said, Pastor, you say, Bob, now you focus. Bob, now focus. I probably have said that many times. Because you know what happens? We listen to ourselves instead of talking to ourselves. Now, the person you listen to more than anyone else is yourself. You say, no, Pastor, you don't know. I listen to my wife all the time. No, you don't. You listen to self. When you get up in the morning, you're listening to self. And I promise you, what self tells you isn't very good. And instead of listening to self, you need to talk to self. And Brandon's right there. Sometimes in the afternoon, I'll have to say, Bob, focus on this message. Focus on the prayer. Because my mind will wander. We do what we do is because we thought about what we were going to do. Our minds are important. So Paul said, think about those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Where is Paul talking about? Mark chapter 16, verse 19, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he says, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now notice what Christ did as he was enduring incredible pain. He focuses upon eternity. He focuses upon his God. Heavenly thinking is learning to see all that we do and say focused upon eternity. Now, let me ask you this morning. What you did this last week, how will it affect you 1,000 years from now? If we just live for this life, we're not laying up treasures in heaven. You come in this church this morning, God knows our hearts, He knows our motives. Why did you come to church this morning? Why did we sing the songs? Why did you come to Sunday school this morning? Everything we do, we're supposed to do for the glory of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, seek ye first. Not just seek, because all of us are seeking something. But He says, God needs to be first in our lives. Some people seek possessions. I found this out in life. It's not getting the thing that will make you happy. It's not buying a new car that will make you happy or having the new car. It's the anticipation and buying it that makes you happy. Once you get it, you go, oh man, this doesn't make me happy at all. You see, God has created all of us to be spiritual beings. And nothing in this world will bring true satisfaction. And all of us, we think, well, it might be more money. It might be a better job. It might be a bigger house. It might be a boat. It might be this. That'll make me happy. It will not make you happy. Solomon was there. In fact, Solomon said, whatever I saw, I got. Wouldn't that be incredible? You're driving in a nice area of town, and your wife says, wow, I love that house. It's yours. You drive by a car, and wow, nice car. It's yours. I mean, that's what Solomon was able to do. He said, whatever my eyes saw, I was able to get for myself. And Solomon said, it was all vanity. It was all emptiness. You see, folks, this morning, if we were created for heaven, to live for eternity, and God saved you, the only thing that can satisfy you is God Himself. Some people seek after acceptance. Some people seek after revenge. I met a few like that. Met a lady one time. She said, all I can think about is getting back at my ex. Man, it consumed her thinking. I mean, she keyed his truck. She told me some other things she did, just consumed with wanting to get back. There's some people that are consumed, they seek their own selves. Now ask yourself this morning, why do you do what you do? Do you do it for the glory of God, Or do you do it for the glory of self? I think one of the hardest things to do is when I get up in the morning and say, God, I'm going to live this day for you, and then I forget about him. Then you start to worry, and then you start to do things for self. I mean, why do you respond? Why do you act? Why do you spend money? Why do you do what you do? Is it for the glory of God, or is it for the glory of or yourself? And I believe there's a couple reasons why we need to seek God first. It's because, first of all, he created us. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Doesn't say in the beginning, Fred. Doesn't say in the beginning, Pam. It said the in the beginning, God. Folks, God created each one of us. And if it wasn't for God, we would not be here this morning. Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Life is not about you. Life is about the glory of God. Isaiah 43, 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created for him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God said, I created you not for yourself, but for the glory of God. God should be first because he saved us. Now, if you're saved this morning, praise God for that. You don't have problems like the unsaved do. I'm thankful for that, that I am going to heaven someday. Nothing can take away my salvation. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what Jesus is saying, I want you to seek heaven, and I want you to seek my glory. I want you to seek living for me. Notice what he says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So he tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now this is a command to each one of us this year. Think about how many times did you think to yourself, Lord, I'm going to set this for you. I'm going to set my mind. You know, here's the problem. We all know how to set our minds upon problems. This past Monday, I had to go to the doctor for Botox treatment on my legs. They think that that might help. And when I got up, my wife could tell I was worried. And I said, what's wrong? I said, that Botox appointment, I'm not really looking forward to that. Man, how many guys are allergic to shots? Anybody out here? Okay, me too. Me too, all right? Okay. I'm a wimp when it comes to shots, all right? You know, if you punch me, you don't tell me I'm all right. You know, if I sprain my ankle during a game, I'm okay. But don't tell me you're going to stick a needle in my arm, all right? And I remember the last Botox appointment, I thought, oh, man. They didn't just poke you once. He poked me over and over and over and over again. I'm like, oh. And so it was on my mind. And my wife said this to me. She said, Bob, if you think about it, you'll make it worse. She was right. All morning, I'm like, oh, Lord, am I going to get through this? And, you know, I'm not even looking at him when he's doing it. Oh, I felt it. You know, I'm like, good night, Lord, come right now. And then afterwards, she goes, well, I'm glad you didn't look at that needle. You would have really freaked out. Me too. But, you know, isn't it true? We set our affection or we set our minds on our problems. Especially 3 o'clock in the morning, you're thinking about your problem. It doesn't go away. It gets a lot bigger. And when the sun comes out, it doesn't seem so bad. When you first get out of bed, you think, oh, how can I face today? And you're focusing on your problem. Oh, this is what Paul said. Set your affection on things above. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Know what that tells me? This life has no satisfaction. There is nothing that this life can offer. We will be miserable without Christ. So we better focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This life doesn't offer us happiness at all. Someone said the only happiness and joy that a Christian can receive is when they die and go to heaven. What a joy we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 18. Why we look not at the things which are seen. Paul said we don't look at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. That's why God says we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And too many times, I live by sight. Paul said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Why is it that we live for the things that we see that aren't going to last very long? I preach a lot of funerals. Never once did the person that I preached a funeral for bring some of their possessions. You came with nothing, and it's certain you're going to leave with nothing. So why is it do we get involved and we lose sleep over and we're stressed out about things that we can't even take with us? When Paul said, set your affections on things above. Now, not only do we see the condition, the command, but the caution. Here's the problem. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So Christ, what Paul is saying, stop living for the things on this earth. We all do. We just went through Christmas, and some of you are thinking, oh, if I could just get that certain gift, I'll make me happy. It doesn't make you happy now. You probably already broke it, all right? It didn't make you happy. What Jesus is saying, this is how you can have happiness and joy and satisfaction on this earth. It's about me, Christ is saying. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus tells a story of the parable and the sower. Some seeds fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell in thorns. And he says the thorns choked the word of God. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choked the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So what happens many times to us? We read the Word of God in the morning. We hear the Word of God. We're taught the Word of God in Sunday school. And it's the cares of this life that will choke off the Word of God. Instead of exalting Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. John says, love not the world. In the Greek language, he's saying, stop loving the world. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Folks, that house you spend so much time on will be gone someday. Your bank account that you're trying to accumulate all kinds of riches is going to be gone someday. This is the reality of the Word of God. We live in a dream world sometimes. When we think that possessions will satisfy, God clearly tells us it will not bring satisfaction. Only Christ brings satisfaction. We forget that we are in a war. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We don't like those verses. Somehow we think that we can be a Christian without being a soldier. It's impossible. The Lord Jesus Christ, a perfect individual, God's only Son, suffered more than any of us will ever suffer. And then when we suffer, we wonder, why, Lord? Why are we suffering when Jesus allowed His own Son to suffer? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Are you a good soldier? You're a soldier. You think back of this last week, how much time did you spend with God? How much time did you spend in the Word of God? How much time did you spend talking to God? How much time did you spend living for this world? Notice what he says. "And the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches." I wonder how many people have fallen for the deceitfulness of riches. I remember years ago, a guy told me, he said, "You know, you can't buy happiness, but I should like to rent it." All of us in our minds were thinking, you know, if I had a little bit more, I'd be happy. Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money." Someone said money is like salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. Why don't we set our affection on things above that will bring complete satisfaction to our hearts? 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So it's not wrong to have money. It's wrong to love money. And God just knows our hearts. Verse 19, "In the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word and it becometh unfruitful." I think of Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, where Jesus tells us, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I believe this message is for every person in this auditorium this morning. It is easy to live for possessions. Aren't you thankful we serve a God who still loves us and forgives us? A God who is willing to live with us for all eternity. He's just telling us exactly how life really is. He's telling us that those things that we think will provide happiness will not provide happiness. Only God provides happiness. A believer's life is not to be wrapped up with the passing pleasures of this world. You see, now, Pastor, how does that affect me this morning? It gives us the right perspective on life when we seek those things which are above. You see, when I look at all the things out there, and there are tons of things out there that I don't have. I remember years ago when I took our son Jonathan, I think it was Joshua, to the store. He was supposed to buy a gift for his brother Jonathan, and this was years ago. I remember taking him to Toys R Us, and he kept saying, "Dad, I don't have that. Dad, I don't have that. Dad, I don't have that." I said, "You're supposed to be getting a gift for your brother, not you. And even if you don't have it, you're not getting it, all right?" But you know, that's what happens when you go to the mall. You're just going to window shop, and pretty soon you end up buying things because you don't have it. And you think it's going to provide happiness, and a year later you take it to Goodwill or you're selling a garage sale. It doesn't provide happiness. Now, how does seeking things that are above help us this morning? It puts the right perspective on life. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul writes, for our light affliction. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. You're not in my shoes. These trials are not light. Life is hard. It's getting harder. Did you see what's going on in our country? Did you see what's going on in our state? Pastor, life is hard. What did Paul say? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That word light in the Greek language means easy to bear, not heavy. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Burdens are not light many times. But compared to eternity and the glory in heaven, it's light. It gives us the right perspective on life. The word affliction means to crush, press together, squash, compress. I'm thankful for this. Suffering will not last forever. Amen. And my suffering is not as bad as the Lord's suffering. Not even close. And there is always someone that suffers far more than we do. It's only for a season. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And then after you have suffered a while, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. You see, when we get to heaven someday, we're going to look back and say, that was nothing. Now it seems like it's huge. And all those problems that we have, we dwell on the problems of life and we set those problems in our minds instead of the things above. They seem overwhelming. The affliction in England years ago when someone would not repent. They would put heavy weights on their chest. They kept putting more and more weights on their chest until they finally would repent or they would be crushed to death. And sometimes affliction feels that way. Afflictions are not light in themselves, but they are light compared to eternity. They are light compared to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for this. Suffering won't last forever, but eternity will. It helps us to have the right perspective on life, but the right power for trials. You know, the trials that we go through in life are allowed by God Almighty. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. But I do know this. Every single trial that you will face this week could have been prevented by the God of heaven. But He had a purpose for that trial. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You see, if we had a chance to talk to the Apostle Paul this morning, and somehow we got to go to heaven, and we say, "Paul, was it worth it?" He'd say, "It was worth it." We understand this morning. We need to set our affection on things above. What makes you more excited, the things of God or the things of this world? Going out to eat or reading the Word of God? You see, God knows. And it should be spiritual things. For years I've used Priceline.com. And it was Lynn's brother, Donald, that told me about it. And that was years ago. We went down to San Francisco, and he got a motel that was like $300 for $48. Like, wow, this is incredible. He didn't tell me that it was going to cost that much to park the car, but I was like, man. So I try to use Priceline.com, and I've done really, really well. And I, you know, my wife was like, okay, how much did you save this time? Lynn, everybody else is paying, you know, $150 for this motel, and I'm paying $50. Isn't that great? You know, well, it backfired. It wasn't too long ago I got on Priceline, and we were traveling, and down in Tennessee, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to get a good motel off Priceline. And I looked at the picture, and really I was trying to be cautious because sometimes I'll bid for the price, you know. You don't know what the motel is. You just put in your bid, and they give you a motel, and I've been lucky so far. And so this time I thought, you know, I'm going to look at the picture, and, well, the picture looked great. And so I paid the money. I had to pay $60, $70. I thought, well, that's better than most of them down there. You know, they're over 100. And pulled up to the motel, and like, this is not what the picture looked like. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. I'm like, okay, I checked the address. I'm like, this is the address. I mean, there was garbage in the parking lots, a couple cars. I'm like, oh, no. So I walked in, and the carpet was bad, and I'm like, oh, no. And I said, sir, I think I made a mistake. He goes, oh, no, no, you already paid Priceline. You got to stay here. Great. So the guy could tell I wasn't too happy about staying. It was bad. So we went back to the room, and wow, I'm surprised they didn't have a black and white TV. I mean, everything else was out of date. The furniture was out of date. The TV was really small, and I was ready to go down and ask for a magnifying glass so I could see it, you know. And I sat at the end of the bed, and Lynn could tell I was not happy. And I'm thinking, oh, I wasted money. That was not right. What picture did they put on the internet? Far from being right. I'll never forget what she says. She says, Bob, it's only one night. It's not like you bought the house or the motel. It's only one night. Folks, we're here for a short time. 1,000 years from now, it'll seem like nothing. No wonder Paul said, set your affection on things above. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. I don't know about you, but God convicted my heart because I live for the now, the moment, instead of living for eternity. I mean, this morning we'd say, Pastor, you're right. God's right. I need to, on purpose, set my affection on things above. I dwell on this life too much. I dwell on my problems. I live like this is it. And it's not. With uplifted hand, I want you to know that I want God to change my perspective on life. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. We lift a hand. God bless you. Many, many hands all over this auditorium. You see, folks, it's not about this life. This is not our destination. This is our preparation for eternity. Perhaps there's someone here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven someday, and that concerns me. Would you please lift your hand so I could see it this morning? You say, I'm troubled in the heart. Nobody knows that I'm not saved but God. God and myself, I don't want people to know. I've been embarrassed about it. But Pastor, honestly, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Here's my hand. Please pray for me.